join Fareed Kamani on his journey into the tech startup world. The Back to Fronty podcast, available on Capital FM SoundCloud.
So this is the Back to Fronty podcast. My guests today, I'm super excited, Ian and Wairay. Thank you guys for agreeing to do this.
Yeah, thanks, awesome. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thank you. Excited.
You guys have, Wairay, your name precedes you. People know your history. Yeah. 20 plus years in the music industry, which we'll talk about in just a bit. But Ian, tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do? Where are you from? What have you done? Why are you here?
My name is Ian. So I've done a couple of things, and that's usually a very difficult question to answer in terms of what do I do. So I started off doing design, and then slowly I moved from design to strategy and innovation. And then from that, I moved to entrepreneurship. So now I have a couple of different things I'm working on, but primarily I'm doing Blow, which is an entertainment startup.
Right.
So it's dealing with entry-level artists and artists who want to scale into the music industry. So that's what I'm primarily working on right now.
Okay. And we'll talk about Blow in just a bit, but Wairay, let's just shift the focus a little bit, because Blow was created so that artists don't have to go through what you went through
all these
for the last 20 years or so, trying to not just make money, but to formalize the career, which is that of a musician.
Yeah.
So you know, your history, a little bit about your history and why this idea
came up,
had to happen.
Well, this year I celebrated 26 years in the music industry. Thank God I'm still here doing what I love, which is music. Through the years, one major problem I noticed is that artists have such a hard time trying to go mainstream. And we all know that it takes an artist maybe between 5 and 10 years before their name turns into a brand. And before that, it's highly unlikely that your brand will feed you. And unfortunately, because of that, we've lost so many artists in the struggle to become successful. So I've been thinking through the years, what can we do to try and lessen that time that it takes an artist to get to the place where their art feeds them? Because I believe if you're an artist, your art should feed you. If it's not, you need to rework a couple of things to get it to that state. So I had an idea, and around the same time I got to meet up with John of Ardanian Labs, and they told me they're also trying to brainstorm a concept that can try and help artists. And I was like, okay, I was also thinking of something similar. Can we combine efforts and see what we could do? And they're like, sure, let's make it happen. And that's how the concept of Blow came up. The reason we chose the name Blow is we're trying to get you to be able to monetize your content as is, at the level that it's at, before you get to blow up. That's why we call the project Blow. And we managed to create a voting system that helps artists to start getting celebrated by the immediate fan base. By immediate fan base, I mean your friends, your family, your work colleagues, guys of your soccer team, people you go to worship with. You know what I mean? People you have that close connection with, people you can rely on. We all know that it's normally a gamble for artists anytime you release music. Because you put it out there for public consumption. You're not sure whether it's going to go viral or any DJ is going to jump on it or any station is going to like it and put it on rotation. So it's a gamble. You're not sure whether the general public is going to embrace it or not. In this case, you're working with people who have that personal connection with you. Those are the guys you're relying on. So if, for instance, if an artist sends his voting link to his favorite uncle, his favorite uncle is not going to put the minimum cost of vote, you know, because we've pegged every vote at a certain price. There's a minimum vote of 50 shillings. Next is 500, 1,000, 2,000, 3K, and there's a section for others. Your favorite uncle is not going to put 50 bob because the kind of connection you have with him. He's going to throw in maybe like 2K, 3K. He's like, this is our boy. Let's support him. So what does that mean? It means that an artist's network is going to be his net worth through the system.
Mm.
It means that you probably don't have to wait for 1.5 million streams on a certain site that I'm not going
to
mention.
Yeah, to make any kind of good money.
To make $1,000.
Right.
Because those are the numbers, actually. If he gets an average of 1,000 people to vote for him for 100 bob, he's made his 60K clean.
Right.
Which he's never going to make on a regular show because his name is not that big. Streams are not going to make him that money because he doesn't have the numbers. He's not going to get any corporate endorsement because no brands want to affiliate with him. You know, they don't want any affiliation because his name doesn't have traction. But he's got in his money in his pocket.
Right.
Straight, every vote that he gets, his revenue goes straight into his e-wallet.
Right.
Which is accessible to him through mobile money.
So I understand that the framework of it and from the front end, it makes perfect sense even for the consumer and for the artist. But creating a system like this, maybe Ian, you're the one to answer this question. What goes into creating something like this? And then where do you get the buy-in from the artist? Because these kids, there's so many scams around, you know. And I mean, I know Blow. I know it's a legitimate platform and I know it's going to change the way artists approach their careers.
Yeah.
But how hard was it to get the buy-in from the initial batch of artists or the initial, maybe the first artist to join Blow?
So think of it like making a movie. So when you're trying to make a movie about a mouse, for example, you have to live the life of a mouse. So you have to think about what does a mouse do? What does the day-to-day for a mouse look like? What does it love to do? What attracts it to? What motivates it to do what it does? So you take the same approach with an artist. So you find out what drives an artist. What makes an artist want to do what they do? What do they do day in, day out? Where do they make their money? And then you build your product around that. So you're not trying to change the habit of an artist. You're just making it easier for them to do what they already do. So that's the buy-in for Blow. So you just show an artist, we're just getting you to do what you're already doing, but then we're simplifying the whole process and making it easier for you and better for you to be able to monetize your craft way earlier than you would have later on. So then when it comes to building the actual infrastructure, there's a lot of research that essentially goes around building. So you have to research in terms of the user experience. So an artist is used to a platform like YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, and Netflix. So you look at how the layout looks like. And then when you're building yours, you ask yourself, how can you make it much better? Because we are offering way more features than what these other platforms are offering. So you think about all the features you're building and how easy it is to navigate this platform. And in the future, if you're to add more features or scale, how easy is it going to be to do that without essentially redoing your whole platform?
But you talk about, you know, the other platforms. These are platforms that artists know as the platforms to make their money.
Yeah.
You've come in with something completely different. Why does Africa need unique products like this? Why do we need to have our unique, you know, the whole world artists are you know, desperate to get their music on Spotify or Deezer or whatever the global platforms are. So why does Africa need, because, you know, it's the same with what I'm doing as well. Africa needs its own platforms, but why?
First of all, it's not a level playing field, especially for entry point artists, okay? So every artist, regardless of what background you're from, wants to be on the mainstream platforms. But do they work in their favor? You know what I mean? For me to make sensible royalties from these major platforms, I need ridiculous numbers. It's going to take me either years or never at all to be able to achieve those numbers, to make sensible royalties from this. So why not work with a platform that's one closer to me, easier for me to get on, because some of these artists don't even know about aggregators in the first place. But we're going to them. We've got our teams reaching out to them, taking the platform to them, getting them to register onto the platform easily. We've lessened the stress that you have to go through to acquire royalty, meaning you don't have to attain accrue royalties of up to some of these sites, some of these streaming sites, you need to accrue your royalty up to about 500 USD. For an entry point artist, that's almost unachievable because he's not known. But if he can access even the 2,000 shillings that he's earned in the last 2-3 weeks, he can buy airtime with that. He can buy food for the family at home. Whatever you make is accessible there for you, you know, through mobile money. You don't need to send in an invoice. You don't have a threshold of royalty you have to accrue to be able to withdraw. We've lessened the process and the stress that the artists have to go through to be able to earn revenue. And I think that's one thing that's making the platform more attractive to artists.
Right. Yeah. But again, we go back to this situation of, you know, there's a need. Why? Because there's a fundamental problem with the way Africa supports its creative arts. Okay, and let's use Kenya as an example because we are here and we're Kenyan, okay? Yeah. I come from a TV and film background and a radio background. You guys come from a music background. Ian, you come from a creative background. Yeah. So you're a creative as well. You can honestly say you've never been paid what you're worth for the work you put in.
Sure.
If Jay-Z is writing a new album, I mean, what makes it different to YRA writing a new album? Why is your effort undervalued so much, or in a creative world, you know, why as a filmmaker or you know, a TV producer, why?
So let's take a look at the creative industry at large for a second. So if you look at the creative industry in Africa, especially, it's a very, like how we are going about monetizing it, it's a very foreign concept. We're not monetizing it originally as Africans should. We're monetizing it the way white people monetize their craft in the US, Europe, and so on. So in Africa, for example, if you take Spotify, it's a good example. In Africa, not a lot of people are going to be willing to pay a subscription fee to Spotify to listen to music if YouTube is free. But then they're willing to do that abroad. So in Africa, if you look at the music industry for a second, you find that artists don't make the bulk of their money from streaming. But then we're trying to just build a lot of streaming sites in Africa. But then an artist makes the bulk of their money from merchandise, bookings, sales of tickets, performances, and so on. But then no one is monetizing that.
Right. You're talking about here, no one is monetizing that.
Yeah, in Africa, they're not monetizing it the way it should be monetized.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. There's a fundamental problem with, you know, if you go to a big corporate and you say, they call YRA, for example, and say they want to use you to launch a product, and there's going to be a concert and you're going to perform for an hour and a half. You know, the equivalent of YRA in the UK or the US or even Korea, for example, would be paid in the hundreds of thousands of dollars at the very minimum.
Sure.
Right? You'd be lucky to get 200K shillings, which is around $1,600, something like this, right? So fundamentally, we need to change the mindset of how creatives are appreciated. Is Blow part of that revolution?
It's the start of it.
Yeah, it's the start of it.
If you ask me. You see, the thing is, abroad we have structures. You have major labels who are willing to put in the muscle behind pushing the brand of the artist. You know what I mean? Here in Africa, we're pretty much doing the work ourselves. You're the producer. You're the one composing the music.
You're the marketer.
You're the marketer. You're the one who's funding your project out of the gigs that you're doing, which we are not getting paid.
So then Blow becomes the governing body in a informal way of how music should be nurtured and created and then output.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We're trying to step into that place. But you're doing the work
of governments, basically. You're doing the work of film bodies or music bodies, et cetera, right?
Yeah. It would help if they did the everybody.
So I'll give you an example. I was chatting with a good friend of mine, Appy Matere.
Yeah.
You may know her from Zamaradi films. Similar thing with Fronty. I mean, Fronty, if you look at Fronty, it's almost like a mirror of what Blow is doing for music. Fronty is doing for content creation and film production. We have a similar problem in the production space, right?
Yeah.
You know, I will go to a client and give them a beautiful creative idea for a TV show or a film or a TV commercial.
Yes.
And say my budget is 2 million shillings.
Yeah.
Then 6 weeks later, I'm on YouTube and I see my creative that someone shot for 300,000 shillings.
Oh, man.
There's a problem there. That's another issue you'll always have, right?
Very big in the music world.
Undercutting.
Mm.
So Wairay won't do the Safaricom gig for 300K, so we'll get this artist. Then Safaricom will complain that the gig didn't, the response to the gig or the traction wasn't big enough.
Yeah.
There's a fundamental problem, which Blow is now stepping in, and Fronty to a degree as well, to change the way music is appreciated. Another question I have for you guys, either one, what you're talking about entry-level artists, is there going to be a loyalty, I want to say almost incidental loyalty by, from an artist? Mm-hmm. You get an entry-level artist who comes onto the platform.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he starts making his money. Yeah. And then he's blown up. Yeah. He becomes as big as Calligraph or Saudi Soul, yeah, or Necessary Noise or Nameless.
Yeah.
But he's not going to want to leave the platform. It can't just be for entry-level artists, surely.
It's not... That's just one of the problems we're solving, for entry, especially the voting platform is will definitely benefit the unestablished artist first. But you see, there's other income generating points within the platform. You have your streaming service, you have your video on demand service, you have your merchandise, we have Blow NFTs. There's quite a number of different points on Blow that you can benefit from. This live stream that we're planning to do, where we're going to do ticketing on. So you could host your own acoustic concert in your bedroom and...
That's cool.
...and charge people to view it. So there's many ways you could monetize your art on Blow. And we're not limiting it only to unestablished artists, because I could approach Nameless to work on a concert with me. You know, let's do a collab and debut it on Blow. And we monetize that because
he's not going to turn down the revenue stream.
And his
stream.
Fans, exactly. And his fans will tune in because it's Nameless.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's a platform for everyone. That's what I'm saying. It's going to benefit all artists.
Right. So it's holistically.
Yes.
And before we close, just quickly, guys, something that you've opened my eyes on as well this morning, the NFT world. Yeah. Now and Ian, you can start this response. For the average listener of this podcast still trying to figure out what NFTs are, what is an NFT and how does it work?
I would think of an NFT like art, for example. If you would go to an art gallery and buy a piece of art for, let's say, 50,000 shillings, once you get home, you won't feel like you lost your money. Mm-hmm. You'll feel like you invested your money in art. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's essentially what an NFT is, just a digital version of it. So it's not an expensive JPEG. An NFT is basically a digital version of art that you invest in or you buy for an emotional reason or something you're interested in. So it's basically digital art.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you can tell us about your NFT, which is recently launched, and you recently sold your first NFT.
Finally, I got to sell one of my pieces, man. So I uploaded five pieces of artwork on the Fibo platform. And I started pushing it really hard. You know, normally in music, when you have a new single, you tweet about it, the numbers go up immediately, people can see the streams, all the excitement and activity. It's a bit different in the NFT world, man. You'll tweet about it, you'll have guys from the NFT community responding.
Mm.
And okay, nice work, Amini. So you don't see immediate results. Well, in my case, it wasn't immediate. So I even forgot to be regularly checking on my profile. So just the other day, I got onto my profile and I noticed I'm one asset less because I'd uploaded five and now there are only four. So I was like, I remembered that I think like 3-4 weeks before I had edited the prices because the value of the ADA coin had gone down. So I adjusted the prices. So to check on the profile again, I'm finding four pieces. I'm like, did I make a mistake? Did I delete it by mistake? Because I'm still trying to work my way around the platform. But something told me, just check on your Roy wallet. So when I checked, I was like, wait a minute, there's a transaction that's been done. I'm like, wait, there's actually some money in here. That's when it hit me. Yo, it went. You know, my first piece went. And I was so excited because for me, it's I'm trying to explore this new space. I think I first started hearing about NFTs just before COVID, and then there was quite a buzz about it during that whole period. And you know, stories of artists selling albums through NFTs.
It's crazy. Even exactly. Films now. The first film NFT was released with Anthony Hopkins.
I know. So I'm even thinking thinking of working on my next album to release as an NFT through fractional ownership. And let's see how that goes.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, man. Guys, congratulations to both of you. We've been spending a lot of time together, both by accident and on purpose. Yeah. I'm super excited.
Yeah.
And just on that note, I just got a SMS as we were sitting here asking about you coming on my radio show from you and Atemi. So I can arrange that here anyway.
Yeah.
But thanks, guys. And looking forward to see more from Blow and collaborations between Blow and Fronty.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
The Back to Fronty podcast, available on Capital FM SoundCloud. We'll be right back.